Hello, everyone. Welcome along to this very special episode of Under the Abbey Stand. We've had Greg Taylor, we've had Mark Bonner. Now we're completing the legendary triangle, shall we say, of the Amber and Black. We were delighted to be joined by Harrison Dunk. Tom, one thing I took from the chat that everyone's just about to hear is that it sort of goes for granted how long the man has been at this club when he talks about those early years, that goal against Tamworth he mentioned. You forget that all these different phases of the club that obviously we've experienced, but not many players have. It's pretty much just him and Greg to an extent. He's just seen the lot.
Yeah, pretty much everything. I think the bit that drove it home, and obviously it's probably not too far away for those of you listening. You know, we asked him how does the move come about, and the first thing, you know, the move to come to Cambridge in the first place, how does it come about? And the first thing he says, "Well, I left school."
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you really have been here forever. Yeah. Literally, start to finish, has been there through the whole lot, the good, the bad, the ugly, and been pretty much a big part of all of it.
I mean, 370 appearances. Obviously, we mentioned at one point that he's, what, 35 away from breaking Steve Spriggs's record. That's not a crazy thing to happen this season in terms of league appearances. Maybe a push, but it would be amazing to see that happen, wouldn't it? I can't think of a guy who deserves it more than him.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like it's due. And to be honest, like, even if it's not this season, you kind of feel like there's at least another season in Harrison. So, yeah, bar anything mental, I think that's maybe a matter of time more than anything. But yeah, remains to be seen, I guess.
Barring any, like, you know, major injury, he's shown that he's definitely good enough at least. So, you know, it's definitely doable. And he'll literally go down in history. And yeah, he's one of those players, him and Greg, that I think form such a vital corner of this team. And also worth mentioning the obvious Wes chat, which we didn't bring up for once, but you know, finally someone bringing up a bit of Wes. That isn't
us. I mean, I guess it just goes to show that maybe we're not the mad ones. Everyone's as obsessed as we are, right? But just the amount of players that he's seen come into the club, and let's be honest, most of them had little to no impact, but some of them had quite a big impact. And he obviously talks about other people, you know, not just players, staff, coaches, who are similarly important. What a guy.
Well, if you listen to this, you're going to hear us go from right at the start when he signed from Bromley, Jez George cooking pasta at the start, when he was injured, both promotion seasons, a bit of the stagnation in the middle, the Newcastle game, no night out to report of, unfortunately. And then right up to the present day with the best players and the best games all in there. So without further ado, I'll pass it on to Harrison. All right, Harrison, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. Firstly, let me just ask, you've got a League Two promotion medal, a conference promotion medal, an FA Trophy winners medal. You're one of the all-time top appearance makers throughout 11 years of dedication to the club. And now you've got an audience with Tom Walker. Surely this tops the lot.
Yeah, it's got to be. I've been waiting for the call up, so yeah.
To be fair, we had Greg on a while ago. It's overdue, mate. I can only apologise.
No problem. Glad to be here.
So over the next hour, we're going to take a deep dive into Harrison's 11-year and counting career with the U's. Sorry if that makes you seem a bit old, mate. We'll look back over the highs and lows and end the pod with a traditional UTAS game to play. So let's start from the start, shall we? Signed from Bromley on the 7th of June, 2011. Got that off the top of my head. Just knew that. Remember it. By Jez George, if I'm not mistaken. How did the transfer come about, and what were your first thoughts when you heard Cambridge were interested?
Okay, so when I left school, so I didn't actually do a scholar, so I'm a bit sort of bit different in that sense. So once I left school, I kind of took a year out, sort of almost deferred uni. So I played for Bromley just to see kind of what the level would be like, see whether I could enjoy men's football, could sort of how it would go, basically. Spent 2 years there, which went well. And then I think I got Ben Strang messaged me that's, I think this was when he was first at the club as a scout, I think, in that sense. And he messaged me saying they were interested, and that was sort of professional football. And I just thought, yeah, I can't turn that down. Came and visited Cambridge, and so, that's the rest is history in that sense.
At that point, were you in between making a career out of football or doing something completely different?
Yeah, I think that would have probably been the year. If I didn't get a professional club at that point, I probably would have gone down the route of just playing part-time and working full-time in some sort of sense.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. So what, you know, at that point, did you think that Cambridge would be such a big part in your life, you know, for so long as well? Like if someone had told you that 11 years later, you'd still be at Cambridge and in League One, would that have surprised you at the time, or would you have been like, could you see the ambition was there?
I was hoping to be at Chelsea, to be honest. No, I mean, it was just to be playing professional football was just playing every day, was just unreal. So I just kind of loved that. I mean, every year I just thought I need to sort of stay here or just stay in professional football because that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah. And what were your first impressions at the time? Like, was it, I don't know, was it, because we were in a bit of a sort of low patch at that point, right? It wasn't the best period of the club. Was it, I don't know, was it, yeah, how did it sort of come across at first?
So I didn't know a huge amount about sort of players and stuff like that. I didn't really know. I obviously knew it was sort of used to be in the league, all that sort of stuff. Didn't know a huge amount about sort of how they were doing in the league, all that sort of information. So when I went, Jez kind of talked me into it, said, sort of gave me a bit of a plan of action, what the sort of next few years they were hoping to do. And it just sold me really. And I mean, sort of came up to Cambridge, really liked the place, not too far from London where I'm based, and it just sort of ticked all the boxes.
Yeah. And has it changed loads then, like if you look back to it then as now? Obviously, there's a lot of money, more money going into the club now. Is it like unrecognisable, or is it? I mean, the ground's the same, for example.
The ground, like the changing rooms, are have improved a lot recently. Yeah. The training ground's just miles apart now. So it used to be that the gym would be at the ground, and you'd have to train the training ground, go to the ground after training, which would be a bit of an effort. And then you'd just be using David Lloyd's facilities, basically. Whereas now, sort of everything's at the training ground. I think they're still trying to improve that further, but in my first season, I remember when you were injured, you used to cook lunch for the boys.
Really?
So you'd basically
sounds like the 90s.
And I was injured a lot that season, so you basically got Jez and Nolan would tell you when training would finish. You'd get given them like, you know, those like 5 kg things of pasta,
yeah,
put in a thing, try and light this sort of hob in the kitchen of the training ground, and then you just had a massive dolmio sauce to mix it with. And that was and you just had to make sure it was ready for, I don't know, say 12:15 when training ended. And that was basically your punishment for being injured.
Would the boys slate you if it wasn't up to standard?
It couldn't be up to standard, so it was just horrible. And you'd always put stuff in just because you're bored. And then the people in that time, if you're in the fat club, you just had a pack of salad that they used to be.
Really?
So, I mean, I won't name names, but I think you could probably imagine at that time who that might be, and just had a pack of salad leaves for lunch.
Amazing. So with all your injuries, you must be pretty good at cooking pasta now.
Yeah, I've got that down to a tin now. So okay.
It's like Gino De Campo's on the call.
Yeah, starting to get a real look behind the curtain of why the club was where it was all those years ago. It didn't take, I guess, relatively speaking, given how long you've been here now, it didn't take that long to get better. I think a couple of sort of breakthrough years for yourself with the club. And then, you know, you kind of move into that 2013-14 period. Richard Money came into the club, I think, just a few months before the start of that season. I mean, firstly, on him, you know, I guess amongst the fans, he's kind of written into like complete folklore now as a legend of the club. For yourself as a player, what was he like when he first came in, and what was your kind of experience of working with him like?
So we had sort of the transition year where he came in my second year, but halfway through, I think it was. And it was kind of the year where it was just like get through to the end of the season. He was kind of planning for the season after, sort of playing the younger players, getting people like Husey and Bez, sort of lots of minutes, getting everyone ready. Because I think he knew kind of he had a plan. He'd kind of speak to a couple of us and he knew what he wanted to do. And then obviously recruitment in the summer was key. And then, the rest was history. But I really liked him. He was class with me. I know Greg probably always never agreed with that. And we always joke about that now. But yeah, I loved him, to be honest.
Was he tough? Was he like
but I don't know. You either love, I mean, don't get me wrong, he did have his favourites and he did like, so.
Sounds like you were one of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of got the, I got the nicer side, but he knew how to get the best of me. So he knew how to bark and he could bark. And
he
had some strong words at times, but yes, some of the guys weren't really too much of a fan of it.
Yeah, when Greg was on before, I definitely remember him mentioning you and Tom Elliott as well as being the two.
He definitely was. Yeah,
it's interesting. I think because as fans from the outside looking in, we in that season, I think there was always a bit of a sense from when the squad was being built and you see the players coming in and some of the players that remained from the season before that there was always going to be something on the cards. We obviously weren't sure exactly what it was and we could never have known that it was going to be. How it turned out, but I think probably at the start of the League Two promotion season a couple of years ago, for obvious reasons with the pandemic, but also because the club again was at quite a low point, there was no real sense of that from the outside looking in. But for yourself, seeing the squad, the two squads being built sort of firsthand, do you see any sort of similarities between those two squads?
I think it's recruitment, and not so much in the sort of players. And we have, don't get me wrong, they were both. Teams have really good players, but it wasn't so much sort of on paper. We were never the best team on paper, I don't think. But it was just everyone glued so well, whether that's on the pitch, off the pitch, everything just worked. Everyone was sort of, it was just the characters, which is obviously a massive part of the recruitment now, which is important. And I think it was just such a great environment, which sort of just showed itself on the pitch.
Yeah. I mean, during that season, I guess literally from the word go, it almost seemed like it clicked straight away. I think that start to the season that year was obviously brilliant. I guess again, similarly like the League Two promotion, it was a bit of a wobbly finish. It's fair to say, obviously gladly won the FA Trophy along the way, and then in the playoffs at Wembley for the second time that season. I mean, for you again, you've just mentioned that coming to the club was, it's a decision between basically going to work or becoming a footballer. Wembley twice in 1 year, two wins, going up the stairs twice. That must have been quite incredible.
Yeah, in the 2 years I was at Cambridge, all I had my eyes on was playing in the league. That's all I kind of, that was as soon as I started at Cambridge and I realised sort of I could play that level. All I could then think about and all I wanted to do was play in the league. So that sort of season when we were getting close, I just remember thinking that this just has to happen. And I think most of the players sort of had that sort of view, because I don't think there was not many of us that sort of had played in the league. It was kind of, everyone was sort of played quite a lot of conference games, but just all they wanted to do was show that they were good enough to play at that level.
Was it a really like hungry squad in that way? It's like, maybe you said where they lacked a bit of quality, they had that sort of, the whole squad had that edge in terms of that.
I think it would be. I think we're just so hungry. As I said, we were kind of like all best friends in that as well. So it's very similar to now. Everyone just gets on so well. It was just such a great environment. And when everything's going well, the fans, it just sort of spurs you on so much as well.
Yeah. Then obviously, the first season back in the league, which was obviously... for us as fans, massive, because like, for me and Tom, we'd barely seen 9 years out of the league. We'd barely seen us be a football league side. So it obviously also meant a lot for us and them. And that Plymouth game, I'll remember forever. It's right up there with one of my favourites, actually. But another big moment that season was that Man United game. What were your memories like of that?
I think I got injured just before. before it. And then I came back, I was sort of just getting back. And so I came on in the first game after about 50 minutes, I think. So I think I just sat behind the ball for 50 for the last hot sort of 40 minutes, whichever, which was quite nice. Chasing shadows, but just the whole, the whole experience. And then I was gutted because the week after, I think I played on the Tuesday, I did my ankle, and then I was in a boot at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
So I think me and Hughesy were both in boots, just walking around Old Trafford, just taking pictures.
Yeah.
Which is fun. But it was just amazing just see the boys playing out there. What was like 90,000 odd or whatever it was. It was just incredible. It was just I mean, the fans, obviously, that whole, I just remember the Friday night, it was just crazy, the atmosphere. BBC, like Gary Lineker being there, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it was crazy. And
even their lineup, I mean, they had like De Gea.
Yeah, it was a cool lineup,
crazy.
Yeah, proper.
Looking back, that game is sort of a little bit of a peak of that money era, right? Because we were, I think at the time, we were sort of knocking on the door of the playoffs in League Two. Obviously, we had this huge draw at home, got a lot of money in from the TV revenue for it. But then things just sort of seemed to spiral a little bit out of that. I mean, I know you probably can't go into too much detail, but like, did you feel that something had changed within the club? Like, what happened? What stagnated? What changed?
I think, I can't remember completely. I think I feel like we might have had some injuries at that point. I can't really remember anything. There was nothing that was sort of you could put your finger on and go that exact moment. I think it just, I think a few losses, maybe a few injuries. Whether, I can't remember whether maybe some players maybe returned from loan maybe in January that year. I can't really remember. But I just remember we kind of, we did drop off quite a lot.
Yeah.
And
was that frustrating?
It was, because I think at the start of the season, we kind of went in as an unknown and didn't really know. But then we kind of could, we showed we could compete. And then, we just kind of fell off. And then maybe sort of a bit of lack of confidence and sort of lack of self-belief kicked in. Mm-hmm. That maybe these teams are sort of better than us, bigger budget, whatever it might have been. But yeah, it was frustrating. And then that was kind of for the next few years. It was just a bit of a sort of yo-yoing, maybe in around the playoffs, but then maybe not, and then just floating with relegation. So it was just frustrating times.
Felt like we lost a lot of momentum in that period, and we were just sort of treading water.
Yeah.
Until your man Mark Bonner comes along.
Yeah.
So could you tell that he was going to be a manager? Because obviously you'd have known him for ages, right? He was a coach since you.
Yes, I've known. So I think he was. I don't think he was even there when I first joined, but then I think he joined maybe as the 16s or 18s coach. And I've always gone really well with him. Because, I mean, it's impossible not to, to be honest. So he's always in around the training ground. And then maybe the 2 or 3 years before. Actually, no, probably a bit longer. He's just always, he's been around the first team for probably about 5 years maybe before. And then always in sort of getting closer and closer to sort of like the main job. And he's just sort of probably from afar just watched and taken different parts from different managers, seeing what sort of works, doesn't work, and they just put his own stamp on everything, and it's just obviously working.
I mean, I guess again, we maybe didn't see the sort of inner workings of the club at that time, but it seems like maybe from the inside he was always always kind of on the way up to that, to that position. I mean, he obviously came in just after Calderwood left, and you know, clearly we're not here to go into too much detail about the end of that particular cycle. But there was that period when he came in as interim manager where it seemed like the club had just gone completely 180, and not only did results change, but you could tell there was like a noticeable shift in just trying a bit more, or just kind of it almost looked like there had been a real change in emphasis among the players. I mean, again, he was interim manager then, so there's a big decision to be made there for the board and for the owners and people like that who are kind of making the decision about the sort of longer term future of the club. For you guys as a group, did you always want him to become the sort of permanent manager? Was that like a really kind of big feeling in the dressing room?
I think everyone loved Bonds. I mean, it's, as I said before, it's impossible not to. And he just kind of, it's not just that he's a nice guy. It's not at all that. It's not that he's just, he's very good man management. as in he knows exactly how to talk to players, keep players confident, speak to players if they're not playing. He's amazing in that sense. But also tactically, just really knew exactly how he wanted to play. There was sort of no grey areas in anything we did, which was important. And I think that just at that time, we needed just clarity in exactly how we want to play going forward. It wasn't, there was no sort of ambiguity in respect of any part of the game. Everyone knew their jobs and it was just drummed into us. And then from there, just showed with the consistency that kind of went on from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I guess, you know, ultimately gets the job. And it's probably worth just touching on in a bit more detail, because even though it feels like, and thankfully it's in our kind of rearview mirror now, but the pandemic, I mean, that comes, and obviously it's uncertain times for everybody globally, basically. Yeah. But I mean, as a footballer, you know, I guess your livelihood relies on basically people coming to games. So what was that first bit of the sort of lockdowns and the first bit of the pandemic like for yourself?
It was a bit weird because, I mean, for football to stop, you know something's seriously wrong, if that makes sense. Yeah. And so it kind of, at first we kind of thought, oh, football just stay on, it'll be fine. Then as soon as football stopped, we were just like, wow, kind of starting to think, Jesus Christ, what kind of, what's going to happen next? You actually start really questioning it.
Yeah. I remember being at that Leyton Orient game. Do you remember that was the last game that we played just before lockdown? I remember being, just talking to people and being like, well, what does a lockdown mean? That can't, surely not. I mean, the football will still be there, surely. Like, yeah, exactly. We won't go to work maybe, but yeah, then that game got called off the next week.
Yeah, and then from there, we just kind of sat, like, got sent programs to go on your one run a day or whatever it was at that time. And you kind of, you just want to stay in touch with you and you're just sort of waiting for the next sort of thing. And then, yeah, we just had that, well, I can't even remember how long it was, but just, I remember I had to actually do gardening and jobs. That was all I just doing. That's all I remember doing for that period. And then thankfully it kind of got resolved. And then the next year we just started like house on fire.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that's the pandemic part of it and the kind of lockdown part of it. But as you say, the season then gets going. Obviously fans can't go, which, you know, you look back on it, you know, after the games that we've been through since, where when fans have been there with some of the atmospheres that have been inside the Abbey and sort of grounds away from home. And it seems unthinkable that there would have been nobody there. But again, you know, you're applying your trade, you're doing, it almost seems like a completely different job because nobody's there. But what's it like playing inside an empty stadium with games that actually matter?
It's a weird one. I don't know whether it might have worked in our favour. I really don't know. I don't know whether sort of there was no pressure. And so maybe because we started better than probably anyone thought, maybe the lack of pressure that we felt might have helped, sort of worked in our favour. I'm not, to be honest, I don't really know. It just kind of, it just was working. And then obviously you've got Wes doing Wes stuff.
Great, I was waiting for
that,
you to bring
that up. Obviously, right, that obviously helped a lot.
Let's go.
That obviously, yeah, we could talk about Wes for as long as you want.
Go on, what was the first impressions of Wes as a player? Because you had the best seat in the house for him.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he was actually supposed to join the year before.
Yeah.
And he did the whole of pre-season, but then he had an offer last minute to go to Australia, basically for his sort of gap year send-off, I think.
Yeah. He just wanted to go surfing and drink a few.
Yeah, he just basically... And then he got injured, so basically did have a gap year surfing. And then he... basically, I don't think he wanted to end on that note, basically. So then he's come back and... Yeah, I mean, watching Wes train every day. Well, I say every day, he didn't every train day. Every day, but he didn't train. I mean, he played golf up until Thursday, and then Thursday, Friday, he trained, and then Saturday, he just...
It's not a bad life, is it?
Yeah.
No
one, everyone just was so accepting of it. Everyone was just like, if you just want to train Friday, that's it. If you just want to come Saturday, that's all that matters.
We used to have this joke that when we played on Tuesdays, obviously Wes wasn't playing, he'd come into training on Friday and be like, "How'd you get on, lad? Did you do all right?" Yeah.
Literally.
Was he in training? Was it just like another level compared to even what we saw on the pitch?
Yeah. He just counting nutmegs like it was. You just couldn't get. You didn't even want to go close to him. That's the thing. I think the really good players, no one even. Everyone kind of. You wonder why no one goes close to them, and it's like easier for them because yeah, they earn the respect that you don't even want to get close because
yeah,
you just get kind of made a fool of. So yeah, he used to do ridiculous things in training, like just ridiculous.
So obviously, you know, he was a crucial part of that side, as were, you know, you, Joey, Miles, Hannon, Digby, the rest of them. What, because that season sort of, there was no one expected us to do anything that season, right? We were outsiders, and if you listen to any podcast or anything that season, or anyone talking about League Two, they'd be like, oh, Cambridge will drop off, they'll drop off, they'll drop off. And we just never did, got better and better and better, if anything. That whole run in, at what point, was there a point where, was there a game that you can remember? Maybe there's not, but was there one game? Because I can tell you one that for us, I reckon, or for me, definitely, where you thought, all right, this might actually, we might actually do it.
I think quite early, to be honest. I think, so when Wes was playing that well early, don't get me wrong, everyone was playing well, but
yeah,
there was, I think it was the Morecambe, you know, I think, was that the start of the season? Like two games in, three games
second
in
game,
or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think after that game, kind of a couple of us were sort of saying, Jesus, we could actually do something this season. Because like watching Wes that day was ridiculous. Like that was the best performance I think I've ever seen. And then Moles, whatever he touched, he just scored.
Yeah.
So whatever he did, he just went in. So we kind of thought we've got a good chance here. And then later on in the season, I think it got to some of the later games. I can't remember. We maybe scored a couple of late ones. Yeah. I thought,
He was Vale.
Carlisle or maybe, maybe Vale or Carlisle. One of those sort of games, I thought,
It was when we just dragged it out. Or even like Walsall at home. Do you remember Noyle scoring?
Yeah.
Last minute goal, like something like that, where it's like, oh, this team is actually just finding ways to win all the time. But let me ask you about one specific game towards the end of that season. So obviously just needed a point up in South Yorkshire on a Friday night. I've got to ask you about this. I don't think we've spoke to anyone within the club about this game.
I mean, anyone will talk about that. It was just like scarred for life for that game. I just remember we got there and there was like fans outside with flares and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is a bit premature. And then we just started badly. I remember, and they were playing, now the other thing was they were playing like second string team. Like it was just all set for just a disaster. And then we've started badly, and then it was just everything that could go wrong went wrong.
It was, 3-0 down after 20 minutes. And then we managed to pull it back to 4-4 with 10 minutes to go. And we were up.
And then I think the thing is, we were so like emotionally just like gone. I think some lads were like pushing for the win. Like no one even, no one could control even what was going on. So it was a disaster.
What was the mood like in the changing room after? Was there like a feeling, because it must have been so hard to pick yourself up and go again. And then to have, I think, bottom of the league at home to do it, it's just like set up for, like, I think, you know, it's got that classic sort of.
Yeah, I think after Harrogate was the first time I've heard Wes shout.
Really?
The first time Wes had shouted the whole season. Like, so.
What did he say? This pasta's al dente.
I mean, for Wes to shout, it was, you know, it was serious. And then I just remember that week going up, or the whatever it was, week to Grimsby, I could like barely, I was just sort of so, I wasn't nervous, I was just so sort of anxious, thinking this can't mess up now, can't. Because we knew, even though the results, there was still quite a lot of other results, we just knew everyone else would win.
Yeah.
So we knew we had to, whatever it was, draw or win. But to go for a draw was just too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It's horrible to think about even now until whoever put the third one in. Was it Miles maybe scored the third? I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, did the job. How, you know, going into a League One season, was there any sort of fear? Was there a bit of, because everyone predicted us to finish bottom. There was no, then you lose Mullin, lose Noyle. Was there like, I don't know, in the changing room, was it like backs against the walls, or was it more like, no, we know our quality, we know how good we are?
I think it was just unknown a tiny bit, like when we first went to League Two, because there weren't, I'm trying to think, there's not a huge amount of our squad that had played League One. I'm trying to think, not consistent. It wasn't like we have loads of League One sort of veterans in the squad. So it was kind of unknown didn't really know what to expect. Obviously, you're going to really nice grounds. You're going to the big teams, big fan bases. So, I mean, tiny bit of intimidation maybe. But then you started okay, I think. Okay-ish. And then, yeah, I don't know. It was just a bit weird. I mean, we got a couple thumpings along the way, but I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
At that point. Yeah. And I think we just knew deep down, we've still got the core of just a really good group. So even if something bad was happening, it wasn't going to sort of stick around. We always knew we would bounce back, and Bonds never sort of panics, which is probably one of the best things about him. He doesn't sort of start panicking and chucking out, I don't know, three, like a different formation or different, wildly different tactics. He kind of knows what we're good at. And that's, and then we just kind of knew if we stick to what he wants us to do and what we're good at, we'll kind of come good.
How have you found the step up in quality, the sort of opposition that you're playing? Seems there's a lot more names that you recognise when you're running through the team sheet. So I'm guessing, or I would assume it's been pretty significant. But I mean, for yourself, how have you found that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a lot better players. I mean, it goes without saying. You don't play Barry Bannon in League Two, whatever it might be. And you just get punished, to be honest. It's sort of the when you lose the ball in your half, you're more likely there's going to be a shot or cross and it's going to be a goal, potentially. Mm-hmm. Whereas League Two, Conference, all those sort of, like, you don't, that just might not, it just won't happen so much.
Barry Bannon, aka the poor man's Wes Hoolahan. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And as well, I mean, for yourself, we're talking about from the minute you signed for the club to, you know, until now. I mean, your position has changed pretty drastically from being, you know, the winger up and down all game to sort of almost calming presence at the back, left back. I mean, firstly, is that something that you saw happening? And secondly, you know, how did that change sort of come about?
Well, when I actually came to Cambridge, I'd never played left midfield in my life. So it was kind of, I just got put there, and not that I didn't want to play there, but I just got put there and sort of started learning the position. And I think as I was learning it, I probably forgot how to play left back. And then over the last few years, kind of sort of taught myself how to play left back again, and just it's just become quite comfortable. I always knew I wouldn't be able to stay left midfield the rest of my life because my legs just wouldn't be able to do that. It's just how it is, especially when you're going up levels where sort of, I mean, everyone's quicker, stronger. You're going to have to adjust and adjust your game. So you just have to look at different ways that you can affect it in your own way. And so I think left back just suits me a lot more at the moment.
Don't let that dream of playing left midfield for Chelsea die, mate. It can always happen.
Deadline day tomorrow as we record. So yeah. I think, I mean, look, we're in the middle of a talk about the first season back in League One, so it feels like the right time to talk about another big cup game. Obviously, you had a much bigger part in this one. Newcastle, just go.
Okay, so I mean, when we got there, first of all, you get the fans in the little car park under the ground or whatever. And then when we went on the pitch, there was like players parking their cars by the side of the pitch and walking in. You're thinking, God, these guys are getting valet cars parked. Our car's getting hit by balls if they go over the stand. Yeah. At the Abbey. And then, yeah, I remember thinking they played a strong team. Trippier made his debut, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, and it was like full house. I remember just seeing that massive flag, you know, they had behind their goal. Mm. It was just something random, like a motorbike for sale or something. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember exactly what it was. I remember lining up and just like reading that for ages. Sort of like, it was just weird. I just remember having like out of date, like thinking whether it was a good deal. I can't remember what it was, but I was like fixated on that for ages. I think it was like, was it real? And then during the game, I just remember like the atmosphere was just crazy. Like, as much as we had, what, 5,000 there or whatever it was, you generally couldn't even really, not that you came to a, like, quiet, but you just couldn't even hear anything just because it was so loud from the Newcastle fans.
It's so far away as well.
yeah, you're so far away, and they were just so sort of on that high from the takeover, Trippier, and all that sort of stuff. So the next moment would have been the VAR, because that was the first time we played with VAR. So we just waiting around for ages for the VAR decision, not knowing what's going on.
And then got two celebrations out of it.
That's what I mean. It was just perfect. Perfect.
Were you nervous after that? Because then, what was there, half an hour left or something? 20 minutes? Half an hour?
It's weird. I was probably quite nervous at the start of the game, but as the game wore on, we just kind of, I don't know, it just felt weird. It felt sort of more and more confident because you thought, I don't know, they weren't really hurting us as much. I think Dimi made some really good saves first half, which undoubtedly kind of changed the game. I think if they score first half, some of those, it completely...
Yeah,
it's a different game. I think, to be fair, I mean, Nibsy probably should have had a penalty, I think.
Yeah. Right.
So you could say that as well. But some of the saves first half kind of kept us in. And then second half, I just remember they were kind of running out of ideas, which kind of you slowly sort of gain confidence with that.
It's kind of mad when you think, weirdly, me and Tom were talking about this like last week, I think. I don't know what came up. But if you looked at the two starting lineups, theirs was closer to their first 11 than ours because we had like, a bunch of injuries, and like there was three, like Kai Yearn, McConnell, and someone else, another youth team player on the bench. Like, we were filling the bench with kids just with so many injuries. It's like it's just such an amazing achievement to be able to go and do that.
Yeah, it was so. I mean, Wormo hadn't played, he played quite a bit, but he hadn't played Wormo. A huge amount of football at that rate. So, to play in front of what nothing, so he's only just turned 21, so he would have been 20 playing at St. James's Park, one of what 52 or so thousand playing in lines up against Shelby, so things like that are just crazy.
Yeah,
he played unbelievably, and then just everyone just stood up to the task so well.
There is one moment in particular I wanted to ask you about, and to be fair, you might not remember much of it.
You probably know
exactly what I'm talking about. You took the place right at the end. I kind of thought it might have been a little bit of a ploy, like you've taken on the face. Let's go down. Let's buy 3 or 4 minutes here. No, straight back up. Can you remember much of that?
So the thing is, because I don't know what the rule is. The rule is something like if you go down the head injury while the ball's in the penalty area, you get the ball back. Doesn't matter who kicked it last. I think it's something along those lines, because it's happened to us a few times where you're like, that rule makes no sense at all. So I remember thinking at the time, if I go down, we might just get the ball back, if that makes sense.
But then
it went out for a corner, didn't it? So I had to get up and defend the corner. I was quite dazed about it, but I remember thinking that I could maybe buy us a tiny bit of time and then we might get the ball back. But yeah, that wasn't the case. And I just remember thinking this could be a meme or something.
Yeah, there is a moment where you get up and you're like properly like shaking your head, trying to like, What I've got the most important question. Sorry, Tom. Was there any sort of, after the game, night out, or was it just straight home, business as usual?
So we had a game on the Tuesday, I think. I think we had a game. We didn't have...
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I think we had a game on the Tuesday. So I think we did have beers on the coach back, but not... It wasn't a crazy party. Yeah, it wasn't anything to write home about, sadly.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, that's... I think there's 5,000 of us that did that job for you. That
yeah, exactly.
Not too much. And then the rest of the season, I think, was probably amongst the most enjoyable sort of period or run of games I've had watching the club. Just pressure off, enjoying us go to these big places, watching us win. Were there any other sort of particular highlights or sort of moments for yourself that you would take from that season alongside Newcastle?
So Ipswich was a good one. Obviously, that was a great one. Apart from Sheffield Wednesday, it was all really quite just enjoyable. We're just going to places, sort of pressure off, just showing what we could do, everyone sort of putting in performances, we're just kind of just enjoying ourselves. Cause that's the thing, in our league at the moment, just that top 9 or 10 teams are just, don't get me wrong, we think we can on our day compete with any of them, but over a season with their budgets, it's just they're miles apart.
That's just
the sad reality that
it's two leagues in one, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
At this point, what about I thought you were going to say your fantastic headed goal against
oh yeah Yeah, I didn't have a clue what to do. That's the thing. It's so long since I last scored, so I didn't have a clue what to do. I think that was the first time I've been put up for a corner for ages. And then the next week, Barry's like, "Oh, you're back. You're back. You're back again." I was like, "Oh, so it's going to become prolific."
What's so yeah, you just mentioned Barry there. What's he like as a coach? Because he's had, you know, he's been there alongside Bonner and Waddock for this whole period of success. Is he taken to coaching like, you know, naturally?
Yeah, I mean, so he signed the second year in League Two, maybe? And yeah, he was probably the only reason I got assists that season, because I used to just put on his head.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, Baz, I always got on really well with him when I played with him. And then obviously he had his injury difficulties, which were just a massive shame, because I think if he had stayed fit, I think that might have been the reason we kind of tailed off quite a bit in that period.
Yeah.
Because he was sort of the number nine we really needed that would get you some 15, 20 goals. And we didn't really ever replace that, maybe up until Moles. I might be forgetting someone in the meantime. But and then coaching-wise, he's just a great guy. He gets on with everyone, but he's also got his serious side to him. And I mean, you see that when he's probably having fights with four official.
Yeah, teaching you how to have an eye for goal as well, it seems. So that's good.
he's a good guy.
What about something that I did just want to touch on is, so obviously, you know, the past couple of years, you haven't had any like major injuries to speak of, right, in the past few seasons.
That's good, yeah.
But there was a period where, probably when you were playing more as a winger, where you were just getting, it just seemed like right backs were just after you in the conference, and you were getting some absolute meaty challenges every week. Is that something that, like, you know, getting a lot of injuries? I remember speaking to Liam about this for a mental health podcast that we did, which you can still listen to now if anyone's listening. And he was saying that, like, it is really tough to be a footballer and be on the sidelines, because, you know, you just can't do your job and you want to be out there playing and helping your team. Is there, like, I don't know, in that period where you were maybe getting a couple more injuries than you are now, was there something that, was it frustrating? Was there a way that you got through it? I don't know, a lot of golf or something, or?
Yeah, so don't get me wrong, it's the worst thing. You just feel useless. That's the kind of thing. You just feel like there's nothing that you're, especially if you're out for quite a while. So I just used to always have hamstring issues, which sort of kept me out for a long time. And it's just really frustrating. You're kind of, because the problem is when you play football, everything in your life is kind of judged on football. So your whole, whether you're having a good week is kind of judged on your football. So I think I've kind of always studied during my sort of career, which has kind of helped in the sense that I'm not over reliant on my football in the sense. So if I play well on a Saturday, obviously it's great. But if I don't play well, I don't dwell on it all week, because I can still have studying to make me feel like I'm still achieving, or if I'm injured, I'm still doing a good day studying so that I'm still achieving something in that day. Rather than if you're injured, you just feel like you're just ticking off days doing nothing.
Yeah, probably feels like a good moment to move on to the future, I guess. I mean, just on that, is that something that many players do? You know, having, you know, sort of things that they're working towards away from football, or do you feel that you're quite kind of unique in the dressing room in that sense?
So Greg studies sort of an accountancy thing at the moment. I think Liam's doing similar, but I think there's quite a lack of that when there's sort of Fortnite and other computer games and flying around.
Yeah,
golf and stuff. I mean, I completely get it, because it is difficult to think about a career other than football, which is sort of the best career you could have, or best job you could have. So it's, while you're playing football, to try and think of something you want to do that's better than football, could replace football, I completely understand, is incredibly difficult, but it just sort of has to be done, certainly.
Yeah.
And then it does just provide quite a nice distraction away from football.
Yeah, I mean, I guess sort of going back onto the pitch, obviously you've been with the club basically forever now. 370 appearances at the moment. Steve Spriggs, club record holder, 416. Do you think you can catch him?
Oh, it's doable. It's doable. What's that? Yeah. Are you doing accounting? No, you're doing something else, aren't you? I was going to say, you want to
What was that, about 35 more games or something along those lines? Yeah. I literally just thought, well, I don't know. We'll see. So is that league? I lose track on it all because I think Doug Shulman's the only one that knows all this stuff. Is it?
Yeah.
Basically, I'm pretty sure you guys just check Twitter after a game and you find, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I think 300 for period. Doug's like the only one that will sort of tell me. I lost track a long, long time ago. So it'll be a good little one to sort of head for or try and get. So that'll be my next thing.
That would be amazing to beat that. I mean, it's just so rare to see players staying with one club for such a long period of time now, right? That it's like, yeah, it'd be wicked if you managed to get there. We'll ask Doug how far away you actually are.
Well, it's crazy because there's like me, Greg, Liam must be quite a few years. Even Dimmy's been here quite a long years. So it's just nice to have that sort of continuity in the team. It's really nice.
No, I was just going to say, it'd probably be a really big sort of personal milestone for yourself, I guess. Most of them that we talked about so far have been sort of team achievements, promotions, big wins, big cup draws, all that sort of stuff. For yourself, I guess, and things that you want to achieve as a team, what would you see as the sort of big goals or big things that you want to tick off while you're still with the club?
I think we'd be stupid not to be aiming for the playoffs. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to get the playoffs, but I think we need to sort of go into believing that we are good enough, because I think we are showing that we can compete against the best teams. So if we can kind of do it on a more consistent basis, there's no reason why we can't sort of try and push for the top half of the league. I'm not saying that we should be in the playoffs, but the quote next, we're saying we should be in the playoffs. But if we want to kind of, if the club wants to go to the next sort of step, that kind of is the way we kind of need to be looking. But I mean, you just never know.
Back page of the Cambridge News, Harrison Dunk, playoffs or out.
This season, probably unique, well, definitely unique to any of the ones that you've endured with the club so far. Two very big games in the league. Posh.
Yeah.
That's got to be on there. What do you think of that one?
So I remember even we played them in a friendly years ago. I remember, I think it might have been, I don't know, my third. I can't remember.
Chris,
it was
a Turner long memorial.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even that game, I remember we had like quite a lot of young guys on the pitch. And even that turned into a bit of a fight on the pitch and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely, again, we want to be sort of making a good account of ourselves. And it's that, well, everyone knows this one for the fans. So we're definitely making sure it's a good one.
Yeah, if it turns a little bit nasty, there'll be a dressing room full of people cooking pasta, I guess.
Get Wes back in to shout at you before the game.
One time lone game back.
Probably. Yeah, I wish. Tom, you got anything else? Any other questions?
No, we could probably just move on, I think.
Do you want to do some quick fire questions, Harrison?
Go for it.
Okay, here we go. I think I might know the answer to the first one. Best player you've played with?
Wes. Yeah, can't go anywhere. Can't go anywhere else but Wes.
Yeah. Best player you've played against?
It'll be one of the Man... I think... it'll be one of the Man U players, probably. You'd have to go. So probably Di Maria, Van Persie, maybe. One of those.
Not bad, to be fair. best game you've been involved in? You can take that whatever way, like best football match or best like experience or moment or whatever.
Newcastle will be the one.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
But I'll never forget that, yeah.
What about this one? Best goal you've scored?
Best? Oh, God. I'm struggling only because I'm trying to think of a goal here. to be honest, I really got my first ever goal. That was, I think, in my home. In the first ever season, you wouldn't remember, I doubt. But it was
Tom probably
just,
does.
I think it was against Tamworth or something like. I think it was against Tamworth, and it was quite a nice finish. And I just remember that sort of settled my nerves quite well.
Oh, we have come quite a long way, haven't we? best goal you've seen a United player score?
Oh, man. Piero Mingoya in Sheffield Wednesday.
Great shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Ben Warman, to be fair, at Morecambe.
Yeah, it's up there, but I think, yeah, no, I'll go with Piero because he's one of my mates as well.
And then last one, best atmosphere you've played in?
Yeah, it'll be either the Emmanuel or Newcastle.
Yeah.
Probably be one of those.
What, it's not Alfreton at home?
No.
In 2012.
Or Hideaway.
Yeah. That was a legendary day out. Anyway, what we're going to do, wrap the pod up. We played this game with Greg as well. I don't know if he warned you. We play it with all our guests. So it's called Football Jenga. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Right, it's nice and simple. Basically, I'm going to give you a game between you and Tom, and you've got to run through players that played in that game. Not in order. You've just got to name anyone who played in the game. First two wrong answers, you can name either manager and you stay in. If you name a sub that played, that's fine. If you played an unused sub, you get to go again. Right?
Okay.
No pressure, mate. Tom is a world champion at this game, but no pressure.
World champion.
Yeah.
They're not playing it in, I don't know, Australia.
Yeah.
there's no football Jenga going on there.
Well, you never know, mate. So just before I introduce the game, well, this will give a big clue away. You are obviously a Queen's Park Rangers fan, are you not?
Yeah.
Are you still getting up to games now? Like when obviously, I mean, I know it's tough, but...
Yeah, obviously this season I haven't yet, but last season, whenever we don't play on a Tuesday night and QPR are at home, I'll play. I'll go.
You'll play?
So, yeah, I'll play. Just so that's because it's just where nearby where I live. So, yeah. Pop down there with my dad.
So, what's your sort of era of Rangers? You know, like the first one.
My favourite.
Yeah.
It probably would have been when we're in League One. Well, it was Division 1 then. Was it? No, Division 2 then. So it was like Paul Furlong, Kevin Gallen, Martin Rowlands, Mark Bertram, players like that.
Well, luckily for you, I've picked... No, I haven't. No, I've picked... the game I've picked, right, is Manchester City 3, Queen's Park Rangers 2, on the 13th of May 2012. Yeah. There's one big moment from this game that everyone remembers. Challenger goes first. So, Harrison, if you'd like to name your first player,
Mackie.
I love that. Correct.
I can see how this is going to go. This is going to be me naming Man City and Harrison. Yeah. Keep it up, players, isn't it? Unless he remembers best. Aguero, I think he played.
Correct.
I'll take one of yours. Balotelli.
Nice. Correct. Off the bench, though.
Yeah.
Dzeko.
Yeah, correct. Off the bench as well.
Joey Barton.
Correct. Sent off.
Didn't play for long. Classic Joey Barton fashion. Joe Hart.
Correct.
Paddy Kenny.
Great shout.
Always good to hear that name, isn't it? Always.
It is, isn't it?
Vincent Kompany.
Correct. Captain.
Sean Derry.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. There's a brilliant shot when photograph with Aguero's shot going across and Derry's like sliding in the other way. A man we haven't brought up today. Maybe better left there. Anyway, go on, Tom.
That's for another time. This is a tricky one. David Silva.
Correct.
Vincent Kompany.
Oh, it's been said.
Did you say Kompany? Okay.
I need a manager.
Oh, who's the right back?
No, I need a manager.
You need a manager? Okay. Yeah. Was it Mark Hughes?
Correct. Still in.
this is the bit where it gets a bit fractious. Who else scored for QPR? Cissé.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Gibril.
Zabaleta.
Yeah, nice. It's not been said, has it? No, I don't remember it being said.
No, it hasn't been said. Not by me, anyway. What about Kolarov?
Unused sub, mate. I need you to go again.
You need to guess again. What about Gareth Barry?
Yeah, fuck. That's a great guess, mate. You're correct.
Clichy.
That's a fantastic shout, yeah.
You got these written down?
So because you said the left back, so if it wasn't him, it must have been Clichy.
Yeah.
This is really testing my mettle, this.
God, there's some absolute names in this QPR side.
What about Clint Hill?
Yeah. Where have you pulled that from? Correct.
And Nuha?
Yeah. Right back. This is so you've got three QPR players left that started, and you've got three City players, four City players that started as well.
What about Tevez?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Who's the Man City right winger? Was it Neves or something?
Oh, I know who you're thinking of. Is that your guess?
Wait, I could probably do better than that. Hold on.
This is elite football, Jenga.
I think you QPR might have had. Should know more QPR players. Yeah, I'll go for Neves.
Neves did not play. But if you give me the City manager, you're back in.
Oh God, I can see him. The really good looking one.
Yeah.
Mancini.
Yeah. Right, no lifelines left. Tom, have you got a guess? Oh, yeah, this is the whole podcast.
Oh my God. De Jong?
Yeah, off the bench. Nigel De Jong. God, I thought, that's an unreal shout, Tom. See what I mean? World champion.
Cranshaw.
Oh, that... No, he's not there. He's not there. Tom wins again, for God's sake. Right, do you want
to
hear...
Did Sean Wright Phillips play? I just wanted to know.
Sean Wright Phillips did play.
Oh, I knew, I just didn't know where to say him.
Here's a QPR team. Paddy Kenny, Onua, Anton Ferdinand, no one said. Clint Hill, Ty Taiwo, which would have been an absolutely mental shout if anyone had got that. Mackey, Derry, Barton, Wright Phillips, Cisse and Zamora up top.
Zamora, yeah.
And then Armand Traore and Jay Boffroyd off the bench.
Jay Boffroyd.
Yeah, Joe Hart, Zabaleta, Company, Jolyon Lescott, I think was the centre-half no one got. Clichy, Samir Nasri was playing on the right, not Neves.
Yeah.
And then Toure. Oh, yeah, Yaya Toure. I don't think anyone got him. Gareth Barry, Silva, Tevez, Aguero, De Jong, Zeko, Dzeko, Balotelli off the bench. Well, there we go. Nice. Harrison, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining.
No, thank you, guys. You'll
have to join again when you hit the milestone and we'll do a rematch. But what we'll do is we'll go for a nice... Division 2 QPR team. Tom can't name any of them.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Nice one, mate.